Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor and ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Document Management for Accountants to Go, a monthly podcast program with executive editor Darren Root and the country's foremost document management consultant, John Higgins. These thought leaders discuss all aspects of document management with a laser focus on the special needs of the practicing accountant.
Hi, this is Darren Root for Intersection Live, and you are listening to episode 14 of Document Management for Accountants to Go. I would like to thank our corporate sponsor, ADP, for sponsoring our podcast today. I'm here with regular host John Higgins. John is a principal with CPA Crossings out in Metro Detroit. John's also a national expert on all things digital, more specifically document management for accountants. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Darren.
Thanks for joining me this morning.
Glad to be here. Always look forward to these.
Good. Today we're going to be discussing strategic accounting firm technology goals and objectives and how DMS can help you achieve them. So why don't you kind of lay the groundwork for what we're going to be talking about today, and then we can get into it.
Okay. And I think maybe I'll start with some personal experiences I had this week. I was at the Association for Accounting Administrators had a fly-in in Chicago for the firm administrators. There was about 35 firms represented, and so I led a couple of discussions on document management systems. And as I was telling Darren before we started the podcast, that's the best part of this business is when you can get out there and actually talk to people who are dealing with the issues and challenges of technology in a CPA firm. And you know what just was a great reminder is that a lot of firms are going about their deployment of document management system without really taking the time to understand why are they doing it and what should they really expect to get out of it. And, you know, one firm, for example, everybody was using document management, the system, except for you-know-who. Guess who? The partners. And, you know, it's just hard to sit there and wonder how that could happen in a firm today. Many of the firms, the conclusion was, they're printing more paper now that they have their document management system. And they were dead serious about it. And so those are just a couple indications that firms are going about this without doing it strategically. And so in our work with firms, we always like to spend time at the beginning to help them understand what are really the strategic technology initiatives that you should be trying to achieve. And then you can use that as a framework with the document management system or any initiative to say if we're going to spend time and money in this area, how is it going to help us to achieve those goals and objectives? So with that, just another personal experience. Actually, yesterday I was at a conference where Barry Melanson, the president of the AICPA, was the keynote speaker, and he was followed by an economist. And the economist was just, spent an hour and a half providing all kinds of statistics, which I always find interesting. But a couple that I think are pertinent to this topic is he said that at the individual level, if you have two individuals doing basically the same job and one has deep technology skills or appropriate technology skills, that person is going to, on average, make 15 to 20% more in salary, everything else being equal, the job, the tools that they have to work with, and so forth. So that's a clear, that's a clear indicator of the value that organizations see in the use of technology, and you can apply that to document management as just one component of that. He also went into the whole issue about the reason in his opinion, we don't need to worry about inflation at this point, or why it's been so low over the last 10 years in particular, is because of productivity, and that productivity has been fueled primarily by our adoption of technology. So those are very broad, looks at the value of technology, and I guess we can go from there and drill it now down into the firm level.
Absolutely.
So we have, in my work, we basically have kind of a standard set of like six overarching strategic goals and objectives. So I think, Darren, we can just kind of walk through those and, try to relate them specifically to the document management solution as an initiative in a firm. But you can, again, these can be applied to any aspect of technology in an accounting firm.
Okay.
So the first one we always like to point to is just the objective should be to leverage technology to increase productivity. And obviously that seems very basic and fundamental, but it's always, you know, worth taking the time to say, okay, so that all sounds good. If we deploy a document management system, how are we going to do that? And, you know, it's just the ability when you get all your information into digital format, you have to do that first and foremost to be able to leverage all the capabilities of the technology. If you keep the information in paper, that just by its very nature implies you're going to have a lot more labor involved because you got to manage that paper, and sooner or later the information on the paper is going to have to be keyed into the computer anyway. So getting it into digital format is going to be key to helping increase productivity overall.
You know, John, I had an email this week from a managing partner of a firm in California. I think it was about a 30-person firm. And the gentleman had read the article that I wrote in the last CPA Technology Advisor print magazine. And the gist of his email was, you know, I really enjoyed your article. And, you know, we're doing all these technology things. We've put multiple monitors on people's desks. We've put scanners everywhere. You know, we've got a digital file cabinet. And I'm just not feeling like we're being as productive or it's not working for us. And he wanted to get my thoughts. Well, I mean, that's really hard to kind of analyze, you know, 2,000 miles away. But, you know, this leveraging technology to increase productivity, I think, is really important. But it's not just about buying technology. It's about actually using it, don't you think?
Absolutely. And that was clear from my meeting with the firm, you know, network administrators this week. It continues. We see it all the time. It's not about necessarily going out and buying new software or even getting new hardware. There's not enough time spent on really analyzing how are we going to integrate this into our workflows to leverage what the technology can do. And like I said, a number of the firms, you know, truly felt they were printing more paper now that they had a document management system in place, and say, oh my gosh, how could you let that happen? And that's just, you know, in my opinion, one of the points I like to make is it's, you know, you have to do the education before you can do the training, meaning you have to educate people on the why and the what of the initiative, and then when you go about deployment of the system, then, of course, you need to train them on the system. But the education is important, and it starts with the partner or the leadership level. They have to really understand where the benefits are going to come from and where the pain points are, because, you know, anytime you're implementing a document management system, there's going to be change, and you have to understand where you're going to have the rough spots so you can be committed to see them through. One of the administrators in the session was frustrated because he says, you know, I have the document on a screen. I've got it on a 21-inch screen in portrait mode, and then they have the document on the desk. I can't get them to see that those are the same thing. You know, he says, why don't they see them the same way? And I said, because they're not. You have to understand that a document on a screen is much different than a document on a desktop, and that's part of the challenge. It's the tools. Everybody's so comfortable working with paper documents and being able to take their pencil and mark it up and make little notes on it. And now you say, okay, you got to do it all on the screen. Well, what are you giving them as a pencil? How easy is it for them to do on the screen what they used to do on paper? And, you know, so those are the things that really you have to take the time to understand what's going to be required, and then what will the benefits be. And then, you know, trying to quantify, because that's, everybody always wants you to quantify, right? If I do this, how much is it going to save me in labor? And, you know, all I can ever tell them is that based upon all the research and conversations I've had with firms and personal experiences, is that if you – document management, for example, if you fully deploy that, you should be able to reduce your time on jobs at least 10 to 20%. And some will argue more. But I think to keep it more at the conservative level, you should be able to look at a 10 to 20% reduction in the time on jobs. And then it just becomes a matter of, okay, how much detail do you want to prove that? And if you want to prove that, then you have to spend more time planning. You really have to document out your workflows and say, okay, here's where we're spending an hour on each engagement doing this. If we send it off, say, to Gruntworks to scan it, we eliminate that time, and we're going to spend whatever they charge, $1 or $2, I think, $3 to do their work.
Yeah.
You know, that's just one example, and you really work through that, and you should be able to draw a pretty good picture of where there's some real economic benefits.
But I think you're making a real valid point. Before anybody even starts thinking about what they're going to put in, they really need to think about the processes and the procedures and what they want to accomplish and then implement, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think enough time spent thinking about all the things on the front end.
And part of that, I think, because that's a harder task. It's always easy to go out and buy something. Everybody likes to buy things, right?
Sure.
Fun to install some new software or put that third monitor on the desktop. But then once that initial euphoria goes away from having some new tool, is the time being spent to really understand how do we take advantage of it? I think we're all guilty of it. I know I'm guilty of it with
sure.
tools. But that's where the value is. That's where the opportunity is to really increase the productivity by leveraging the tools that you have available.
Well, the other thing that we do consistently as a firm is we continue to, even though something's not necessarily broken, we continue to analyze each year, does that process still work, or have we learned anything that can make it better? Should we be tweaking this? Has there been new technology that has come out that would actually make that process better? So it's a constant and continual evolution, it seems like, for our firm.
I think that's a great point, Darren, that, you know, every firm should take a day, you know, after tax season, when everybody's got a little bit of time to catch their breath and say, okay, what's worked well? Where are the inefficiencies? What things really helped us with technology this year? Where, like you say, where are other things we could be doing? And that should be done at least once a year to just kind of keep everything on track and make sure you're focusing in the right direction on your technology initiatives.
So we just talked about leveraging technology to increase productivity. We probably ought to move on or we won't get through any of these, John.
Yeah. Very good. So another one is just the objective would be to eliminate manual and redundant tasks. And so when we talk about document management specifically, what are those manual and redundant tasks? Well, for example, just organizing the documents that come in the door. And we know that there are many good tools now that we call intelligent scanning software or services, for that matter. We mentioned GruntWorks. That can really do a very good job at automating that whole process. They're not perfect, and that's one of the things everybody needs to keep in mind, that none of the technology is perfect, but that's not an excuse to avoid it. But there are a lot of good tools to just help automate scanning in the documents and then organizing them into a very logical sequence. And then you can take it to the next level where some of these tools, we call them scan and fill, will actually lift the data off of the documents and transfer it over to the tax software, for example. And again, it's not perfect technology, and you know, you hear some horror stories from a couple years back from some of the products, but what I heard this year is that that whole area of technology seems to have improved quite a bit. And that's just one example. Another example of eliminating manual tasks would be the whole issue of scanning. You know, we spend a lot of time thinking about scanning, and I always say move past scanning and think about what can you do to be getting the information from your client in electronic format in the first place so you can, you know, you can eliminate the scanning ultimately. You know, everybody has email today. Most people, whether they're certainly businesses, but also most individuals now have certainly computers in their homes. If they're using a CPA to do their tax work, then the chances are pretty high they have a computer with broadband internet access. They probably have a little scanner. So why not work with them to either have them scan the information in and email it over to you as a PDF file or upload it to your portal. We'll talk about portals a little bit. You know, or you could have an online organizer where you could actually work with the client and have them just key the data in directly. I felt one of the innovative services that firms could provide is get an intern or entry-level person, and their job would be to set up web conferencing sessions with clients and just walk them through where they fill out the organizer together online. And so you wouldn't even necessarily have to have them give you the paper documents. So there's lots of opportunities. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's a great point because, I mean, every client you have may not want to do the online organizer or they may not want to scan and email you everything. But if you just get your clients started down that path, then it becomes easier and easier to evolve that. So maybe you just save a little bit of time up front on a few clients, but that's going to continue to evolve over time, saving you more and more time. So I think that's a great point. Another one I wanted to throw out there, I know we're kind of talking about 1040s and tax processing right now, but another time-saving piece of software we put in was we started using Bill.com this past year. And one of the things that our firm does is we do bookkeeping for a lot of medical clients. So the process of getting the bills from clients so that we could pay those went from, you know, the client brought those to our office or they mailed them to us and we keyed them in and then we paid them. Now what happens is the client gets the bill at their office, they look at it and make sure it's appropriate, they fax it to us, or at least they think they're faxing it to us, and it goes to bill.com, it digitizes it, and it allows us to pay it electronically and then store it electronically. So it cut out a whole host of steps in the processing of paper.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I've heard of bill.com, but I wasn't really sure exactly what it did. So when they fax the document into bill.com, then they have like people who actually rekey the data?
No, what happens is when they fax it to Bill.com, it ends up in my master portal at Bill.com underneath that particular client, because every client I have has a fax number and an email address there. So they could either scan it and email it or they could fax it. Ends up in the same document portal, let's say.
Okay.
Our bookkeepers go in and they identify, let's say a medical client faxed me 30 pages. They identify each of those pages and assign it to a vendor. And they key the amount in, and they say, I want this paid electronically on such and such date. That once it's assigned to that vendor, that document then is automatically stored in that vendor's digital file box. And the bill gets paid electronically, and the acknowledgement of that bill payment gets attached to that bill that was paid. And so we're completely done with the process at that point. All that information then downloads into QuickBooks, and that information stays synchronized. So it really has saved us a lot of time. I can start to see that helping our tax practice at some point down the line as well, where a client can fax or email a document in and we can identify that document as it comes in potentially, and or whether we're uploading it to Copanion or SurePrep or whatever. So anyway, there's tools out there that helps eliminate some of these redundant tasks like you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's also an interesting opportunity to segue to the next objective, which is very broad, and that is to capture, process, store, and disseminate all information digitally. So that's kind of like the overarching objective of all of this with document management. And you know, that's just one good example. When we think about the whole issue of faxing, that needs to be integrated into your document management solution. How are you going to handle faxes? And the best way is to have a tool like your example with Bill.com, and there are others. We use eFax for just generic faxes. So, you know, whenever somebody sends me a fax, it comes in directly into my email as a PDF attachment. So we're paperless right out of the get-go. And so that, you know, think about in your firms, all the different places where you have information that's not currently in a digital format. So what are the initiatives you can take on to get that information in digital format and keeping it, not just on the inbound side, but keeping it digital while you're doing the work. And that's where the productivity increases are going to come from. It's again, the examples where people are talking about printing more paper, that was frustrating to me because that tells me they're just not doing what they should be doing with the software, with the technology. You've got to keep it in digital format and really redefine those workflows so you can take maximum advantage of what that digital information can do for you. And then also on the outbound side, when we talk about portals, you know, not having to print the stuff out anymore, not have to put it in the file room, get it right out there to the secure portal site, the savings opportunity and time there is significant. In addition, it gives you the opportunity to be in better compliance with a lot of the rules and regulations about information privacy and security. So that's a broad objective, but it's key. Always just think about how can we take on an initiative that'll help us get this piece of paper out of the paper mode and into a digital mode.
Great point.
Okay, the fourth one we have is anytime, anywhere access to all information. Now, this is, you know, relates again to all of your technology solutions. When it comes to the document management system, well, a couple things. If you want to give your staff the ability to have anytime, anywhere access to all information, well, then you have to have achieved the previous objective, get it all into digital format and keep it into digital format. And then you have the whole issue of, okay, technologically, how do we give them that access? So a lot of firms will use Citrix or they'll use Terminal Server to allow people to log into the system remotely. Or you also have the whole SaaS model, software as a service model, where you run the applications as a service over the Internet, and just by the very nature of those systems, you immediately give people the ability to access the information anytime, anywhere. And that's a huge value driver in a firm, for particularly for young people. I would say for everybody, but particularly for younger generation, so that they can have the ability to have the opportunity to do their work whenever they're ready to do it. And that may not be the way a lot of us think that are more traditional in working models, office models and such, but the reality of it is today, we talk all the time about work-life balance. I always like to say it's more about work-life integration, that how do I work the two together? And so I want to do the work when I want to do it, and if that means I would rather spend a couple hours in the evening doing a tax return from home instead of staying at the office till 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, that's going to give me just a whole better perspective on that firm. And so there's a direct benefit to getting your staff, getting good staff, keeping good staff, and helping them to be as productive as possible if they can get to the information and the applications wherever they're at. And DMS is required for that.
You know, John, I've got to think that's critical for the firm of the future, because if you're going to hire and attract young people, they want to have more flexibility than maybe a more traditional worker. And even, you know, myself, I love having access to all of our data anytime, anywhere. So that is just a fantastic benefit that you get out of coming out of implementing these strategies that you're talking about.
And, you know, even at the other end of the age spectrum that I was mentioning, I was at the conference where the Economist was speaking yesterday, and another statistic he threw out is that for baby boomers, which it puts me in that category, 84% of us never want to retire. I don't know if I don't know if that applied to me or not, but actually it does. I mean, I enjoy my work, and he said that, you know, for that group, as time goes on, the model's going to be they want to work part-time, or they may want to work on special projects for a couple weeks and then take 3 weeks off. And so, you know, in order to facilitate that, you have to be able to provide access anytime, anywhere. I know a firm in northern Michigan where one of their tax partners was just, you know, getting to the point where he wanted to spend his winters in Texas in the warm weather. And so they actually deployed, in their case, they deployed GoFileRoom, which is an ASP, document management system. And so he goes down to Texas. He's got a big fifth-wheel trailer, and he goes down there to a trailer park. He and his wife, they spend the winter down there, and he set up a little office in his fifth wheel, and he does his tax returns. They use one of the tax software that's online, and then they use the GoFileRoom for the documents. So he's completely mobile. He's doing his work directly out of his fifth-wheel trailer down there in Texas.
What a great way, though, to keep that workforce. You know, take that person in particular. I mean, he's got all this knowledge that he's gained all these years, you know, and what a great way to keep him engaged in the fashion that he wants to be engaged in. I just think that's a fantastic benefit for any firm.
Yeah, I mean, it's a win-win for the client. It's a win-win for the firm, and it's a win-win for that individual specifically. So,
I agree.
The next one we have is kind of ties into the anytime, anywhere access, but it's the objective to have a secure, reliable, low-cost IT infrastructure. And that's that's just a challenge for many firms, because that really requires having the right level of in-house expertise that can make the right decisions about what kind of infrastructure should we deploy, and then how do we manage that and monitor it and make sure that it's secure. And that's where I really, you know, get a fairly strong opinion about the value of the ASP or the software as a service model, particularly for the small and mid-sized firms, where you can outsource that responsibility and increase the security of your information system, as well as reduce the cost through a shared services type of model. And that to me, I believe, is the fastest growing segment of accounting technology these days. It's just moving more applications to that software as a service model so that the firms can spend more time on applying the technology and less time on actually deploying the technology, the hardware specifically in that case.
Yeah, I know Thomson has their virtual office offering where you can essentially have your whole office hosted by Thomson, you know, if you use Thomson's products. And there's some vendor agnostic companies out there as well. Is Accentric a vendor agnostic company? Or?
Yeah, and that's a good example there, Darren. You've got, you know, there's really kind of two variations of this theme. One is what we would call software as a service or ASP, application service provider, and then the other would be a hosting service. And so an application service provider would be Thomson, where they have their entire CS suite available, where you can just buy it on a subscription basis and run it through your browser, actually through Citrix, from their data centers. So they're providing everything, the software and the infrastructure and the network administration, but you have to use their software. Then you have the alternative, which is hosting service, and there's a company down in Georgia, down in Atlanta, called Accentric that Darren was referring to, and Accentric specializes in being a hosting service specifically for CPA firms. So in that model, they don't really care what software you use. What they will do is they will come into your office, do an assessment of your current IT, and they'll say, okay, here's what we can do for you. We'll take all of your applications, move them from your servers, we'll put it on our servers in our data center, and we will manage the infrastructure, we'll manage the network for you, but obviously the firms are still responsible for picking and choosing the software applications that they want to deploy. So there's some real advantages to that model as well. But in either case, you're giving up the responsibility to actually have to manage the infrastructure. And that, like I say, that's hard for businesses, because if you're a firm of 50 people and you can only afford maybe one, perhaps two people in IT, what's the skill set you're going to be looking for? Do you want somebody who's good at helping the users deploy the applications and integrate into their workflow, or do you want somebody who's going to be able to go in there and put a really good security framework around the system? You can't find that expertise in one person. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
A pretty rare person.
Yeah, I think this is going to be an area that's going to continue to grow at a pretty good clip over the next several years, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah, because to me, the economics and the value proposition are just so strong. We were talking about this with the network administrators group, and I said, you know, for those of you that are IT professionals, I would put it to you the same way I put technology to the CPA professionals. It's all about what can you do, in this case, as IT professionals, what can you do to move yourselves up the value chain? And if you're, you know, plugging in cables and, you know, connecting up scanners and things like that, that's not moving you up the value chain. I said, if you use a service like this, if you take an application to an ASP model, what you've just done is you've expanded your IT department that's working for you without having to hire new full-time employees. And it's not easy to get partners to agree to bring on more full-time employees, particularly in what would be considered as overhead by most firm leaders.
Yeah.
So it's really an opportunity for IT professionals to move themselves up the value chain. And, you know, it's not for everybody, because a lot of IT folks like working with the gear and like, you know, deploying hardware and so forth. And so they just have to realize that you got to look at the big picture. If you're in a particular firm, if it's a smaller firm, it's going to be more and more difficult to justify a high salary to be able to do those kinds of things when, in fact, we could outsource them through an ASP. It's just a fact of life these days.
Yep.
Okay, and then our last goal and objective is my favorite, but it's always, you know, it's kind of like the dessert to the whole process, is the objective to provide more innovative service delivery. And when we talk about document management systems, the best example that I believe is establishing the client portal. And Darren, you and I, we did the webcast last week, and we had over 500 people participating in that. And we did the one polling question. I think we found that about 17% of the firms engaged in that conference had actually deployed a portal, and the rest were all in the process, in the middle of trying to figure out how to do it for their firms. So that was very encouraging to see that there's just a lot of interest in portals. Much of it is driven by firms realizing it can be a real tool to help them comply with a lot of the privacy regulations that continue to grow year after year at both the federal and the state level. But it's also very important to understand that a portal in that example is a way to really be innovative with your clients and giving them a more direct link to your organization. And I believe, you know, I can make the case where a portal can translate into a higher value for the firm and can be a part of your succession planning process, because the portal is now another way that your clients can really, establish that relationship with your organization, and it supplements the personal relationships. And it's the personal relationships that are most valuable, but they're the hardest to transition when you have a succession plan implemented to transition the firm to new ownership. But if a lot of that relationship is systematized through the portal, and we talk about the different kinds of portal applications, but that's going to become a critical way in which your client identifies with your firm. And that's just one example of an innovative service delivery. There's many, many others that are available out there.
Yeah, we've been talking about a digital practice here, and like you and I talked about in that webcast, and if anybody wants to hear that webcast that didn't get the opportunity to hear it before, you can go to the CPA Technology Advisors website and download that or play it and listen to what we talked about as it relates to portals. But there's lots of different types of portals, as you just alluded to. But you may not just have one type of portal in your practice. You may have a document delivery portal, and you may have a portal that hosts all your applications, and you may have another portal that is like Bill.com where vendors fax or email things into. So this is kind of the overall strategy of having a digital practice, and you've got to step back and think about this overarching goal that you have as a practice and then work your way towards that, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's important to take the time to, we've talked about these strategic goals and objectives. They become a part of the planning process. It's invaluable to spend some time doing strategic technology planning. It doesn't have to be, a two-week initiative done properly. Maybe you get an outside facilitator. You can do it in a day or two to get your framework for the next 1 to 3 years laid out. But it's very important because I always like to say that spending on technology is like building a house. You can always spend more money than you want. You can spend more money than you have, and it's so easy to spend it on the wrong things. You get into that house and you realize the bathroom should have been at the back of the house, not the front of the house. Well, what do you do now? That's a big job to take it down and move it. But the same thing happens with technology. We spend all this money putting these new three servers, and then you're coming now and telling us that we could do it more effectively on an ASP solution. That can be very frustrating when you come in with that kind of message to a firm. And that's where the planning becomes so critical. And an important part of that planning is, of course, getting educated on what are the opportunities. And that's where certainly CPA Tech Advisor does a great job there. All kinds of information to help you understand what are other firms doing out there in the marketplace, what are the vendors bringing to the table to help you deploy some of these technologies. But unfortunately, you have to do the work on your end to really take the time to study this and learn from others, because that's where you're going to save yourselves a lot of money and a lot of headaches in the long run.
Yep, I agree. Well, John, we're out of time today. I really appreciate you going through all this with us. I think it's valuable information. If somebody wants to follow up and talk more about this, can they go to your website and get more information at cpacrossings.com?
Absolutely, yeah. We love to hear from folks, because that's the best way for us to get educated on what the real issues are out there. And as I was mentioning to you, Darren, you can go to the websites and you can talk to the vendors all day long, but you don't learn anything until you talk to the firms and what are the challenges that they're actually having and the problems they want to solve. So we love to hear from you, and that just helps us serve firms better. So please contact us.
Great. Thanks so much for your time today, John.
Thank you, Darren. Have a great week.
See you next month.
Okay.
The CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via talkshoe.com.